Jesus Christ. He is our Passover lamb. He is the sacrifice that protects us from the wrath of God. When we are saved from the wrath of God. When we are saved because of the blood of Jesus, because of the sacrifice that Jesus has made to appease the justice of our God and our Father. This Lord Jesus is the demonstration of grace and mercy and pity. This Jesus is the demonstration that justice has not gone away and has not gone to sleep. Salvation is needful, and it comes through the mercy offered by Jesus Christ. This is Well-Placed Faith, an hour-long program about life, about liberty, about the pursuit of Jesus Christ. With me today is Virgil Evans, as typically, almost always. Yeah? Say hello.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah, say praise the Lord. That's even better. Today we will be talking about Jesus, we will be talking about the Father, and we will be talking about the Holy Spirit, looking to the Trinity and our God's answer to our greatest need, the need for salvation, to be made unified in accord through covenant with our God. This is Well-Placed Faith.
Crucified, dead, and buried, suffered for us all, and then he rose again, rose again. Crucified, dead, and buried, suffered for us all, and then he rose again, rose again. Crucified, dead, and buried, suffered for us all, and then he rose.
There are a lot of people that I know in Christian circles that are really entertained by what the Bible has to say about them. Entertained. Because people that I at least know of, some of them I know, some people that I've encountered in Christian circles, man, they really love those spiritual gifts inventories. They really enjoy finding out just how gifted they are and in what way they're gifted. Now, I'm not saying that there's no, you know, benefit at all to come from something like that, but I do want to say maybe it's time to do something else in the church besides just figure out how spiritually gifted we are and so widening the range of these things as to include the gift of smelling good and the gift of I don't know, being able to have lovely hairstyles. I don't know, but these things have gotten to where they're really weird, and I don't know that I appreciate them.
Well, to add to your list, I heard this from a pulpit once, a fellow who he recounted an act that he saw, and the spiritual gift this man had that he saw happen was changing a blinker bulb. So,
the spiritual gift of changing a blinker bulb
on a car for an elderly lady, and that was
very
a spiritual
decent.
Gift. I'm not here to, you know, say yay or nay. I'm just, you know,
adding to the list.
I'm just adding to the list that this was portrayed from a pulpit in a church. You know,
that's very nice. It's very nice. That's it's nice. It just lacks all practical. Yeah. So, okay, now, the point is that in order to be spiritually gifted, one actually has to have the Spirit to.
Amen.
And that's actually the gift.
The Spirit is actually the gift.
Is that you get the Holy Spirit right there. And then the funny thing about having the Holy Spirit, or being had, rather, by the Holy Spirit, is that then you, in fact, do become, yes, a gift, a contribution. to the world. We see that worked out by being parts of the body of Christ. Okay, what is it that Jesus is doing? That's the question. What is it that Jesus is doing? Well, Jesus is doing ministry. He is applying himself to a lost world. And how is he doing it? By changing light bulbs, apparently. By smelling nice. By having, I don't know, these various other gifts. There are legitimate gifts, and I don't want to patronize too terribly. I don't want to be too coy, a little coy. I want to be a little bit coy in order to sort of demonstrate my point. But we are brought into the one body, the body of Christ. That's what the church is, the ecclesia, the gathered together ones. We are the ones who are distinct from the world because we are the one gathered body. In order to be the gathered body, you have to be gathered body of believers. The churches have become a place where you bring in just anybody and everybody. That's good. That's fine. It really is. There needs to be evangelism, sure, from the pulpit. But church, actually, when you actually get down to what the church is, the church are, I don't know proper grammar on this one, believers. That's church, okay? Believers. And the believers have then been brought in, have been incorporated into the body of Christ. They are the expression of God on the earth, okay? And we've seen this before in other instances, but not like the church. The church is likened to the body of Christ, okay? Because the Spirit of God dwelt bodily in the fullness in Jesus Christ, the man, the human being who was also God, all right? He was indwelt with the very Spirit of God because he is deity. Okay, Jesus is referred to as being the temple. He, in fact, refers to himself as being the temple. Knock down this temple, and I will raise it up after 3 days. He refers to the church as being the temple. We've seen the temple is also something that is spirit-filled. Right? Spirit-filled. We saw that in the Old Testament. We go at length about that. We've even seen that the burning bush was at least temporarily inhabited by God, because this is the story of how Yahweh had revealed himself to Moses. And in that is this God who delivers. There is a meeting with this God who delivers. It's not the bush. It's not the brick and mortar building. The body of Jesus was not a particularly wonderful body, anything along those lines. The church is not particularly beautiful. That is to say, the gathered together believers, not particularly beautiful in perhaps the way that they look or smell. But there is a presence of God that is there. The presence of God is the thing that is most incredible about the church. When the church is reduced to a bunch of people taking spiritual inventories about how gifted they are, and look at how spiritually gifted we are, then all of a sudden the church has grown enamored with a mirror and has forgotten her first love. So, we have these gifts as being gifts from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God. He is the reason why we can be the one body is because of this one covenant brought to us through Jesus, which is really ratified, enacted in the Holy Spirit. So we have the varieties of ministries, the varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, the variety of ministries, the same Lord, though, a variety of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. This is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The idea here is that we would be the lived-out expression of God. We are not the sufficiency of God, but we are the lived-out expression of God. Well, that has to start. It has to start somewhere. Any word from over here? Any word from over here on how that begins, what that looks like as it works out?
Yeah, the Spirit itself, again, is the anomaly. It is the gift. It is the power and the ability. So I should say, let me correct myself here. The ability is the Holy Spirit is the who. He gives us the Holy Spirit. He gives us it. When he gives us it, being the ability, mm-hmm. he gives us the ability to do things. So that is why, for quite some time, that I have been, just to be frank with you, against these spiritual gift assessments, because you know, who can know the mind of God? And the Spirit is able to do as He wishes, as He wills with one person. Mm-hmm. And I really cannot accept that, well, we own this gift or we own that. Other than we are possessed by the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And as these, what we're calling gifts, what the Bible refers to as gifts are, in all actuality, they're the outcroppings of the fullness of the Holy Spirit, being
yes.
filled with the Holy Spirit. They're the
yes.
the product of being full of the Spirit.
Right.
So then, as we're going along evangelizing, and in our day evangelizing, we have to work or something.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, the question may pop up, or the opportunity may come present itself for us to be able to share the gospel, and or there may be in our service to the Lord, in our ministry duties that we all have, opportunity may come up for us to give someone a revelation from Scripture, or to be able to, from Acts, communicate to someone who it would not be possible on our own, by our own recourse, by our own ability.
Yeah,
then
yeah.
we're given the ability. The ability comes from the Spirit. The dunamis is not.
Yeah.
It's not dynamite. It's the energy that it takes, or it is the ability to do something. It's not just
yeah.
blow up and done. You know,
right. it's
the energy that comes from that. So, yes, I think we're foolish to start claiming gifts and start claiming, well, yeah, God may have used this and such through you,
mm-hmm.
but it doesn't mean that you own that or you have the title to it.
Right.
But it doesn't mean that He's going to cease using that through you either.
Sure, sure. I want to, yeah, I don't, this isn't a, today isn't intended to be a show about the spiritual gifts, but two things. One is, don't think that you're somehow limited, like, well, I've got the spiritual gift, let's use another one of the singing. Oh, there's the spiritual gift of singing. No, there isn't.
No.
However, that's not to say that you're not gifted there and that the Spirit can't use that. That's wonderful. That's great. Thank you. But anyhow, so it's not as though, let's say when you are 16, you've got one quote-unquote set of spiritual gifts. By the time you're 20, God may change your life in such a way and bring you to a group of people that have need of God working in their lives in a different way, and you may be kitted completely differently because there's a need. There's the point. The world has need of you being the bearer of the Holy Spirit of God, and it's the Holy Spirit of God applying Himself to the need of people, and you are a vessel. You can, in those exercised or outworked ways, change. So the whole spiritual gift deal may...
Well, a representative of that, Matt, I believe can be found all throughout the Old Testament when there are things that come up that were not humanly possible to do. You know,
mm-hmm.
As in Samson, we see
yeah.
what kind of sinner Samson was. I mean,
yeah.
obviously,
he's a big dummy.
The story, yeah. But things that he did were just not humanly possible.
That's right. That is right.
God gave him the ability to do these things, you know, to defeat whole armies and pick up the jawbone of the ass and beat the armies, you know, kill thousands, you know.
Yeah.
The numerous things that he would do is just, it's
yeah.
inhuman. And it wasn't human. It wasn't the
right.
ability, the assessment that he had. If he filled out a little assessment, well, yes, I slay lions with my bare hands and eat honeycombs out of their innards.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know, no, he did not have the ability within himself. That is why we call it spiritual gifts. It's supernatural. It's not what you're capable of.
That's right.
It's not what you're capable of.
Right. And that brings me to the second point of that whole thing, is that I'm afraid that we're doing the psychological categorizations.
Amen.
Or something. Here's the Abraham Maslow. How do you actualize? How do you self-actualize? What makes you happy? Well, in myself, I really like singing, for instance. Oh, well, that's your spiritual gift, and you really need to... No. What I think we need to do instead is we as Christians, I'm talking to people who are believers now, okay? If you are not a believer in Jesus Christ, if you are not in the covenant, then this portion of the message is not for you. Those of you who are indwelt by the Spirit, we need to look around and use our eyes and use our heart and use our ears and do a little discerning, do a little assessment. What does the world need? What is it that the world needs from God? What the world needs from God is, and then when you fill in that blank, that's what God wants to use you for. Okay? You are the body of Christ. You are applying yourself, indwelt by the Spirit, to the need of, yes, the church. Yes, the church. You need to apply yourself to the need of the church. But I am pointing now to the purpose of evangelism and saying the world has need of salvation. The
yes.
world has need of people to carry the Spirit well to them, before them, and to produce the message of salvation in Jesus Christ. That is the thing that there will never, never, never be another that can replace that need. When people were suffering under sickness, it was Christians that went in. I'm speaking in ancient times now. It was Christians that went in and risked their lives, whether it was the plague. The Christians were the ones that went in and took care of the people who were plague-stricken. Whether it was the ones who were back in the time of Rome, the babies that were thrown on the garbage heaps because they were not male or because they had a deformity or something. It was the church who applied themselves. Well, what we see now is that there's been a government introduction of the government will feed the poor. The government will take care of people's medical needs. The government will operate the adoption policies or abortion policies or what have you. More on that next week. But there's been this attempt by the world to produce its own sufficiency for these needs. You know what one need will never, 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 never be superseded by the world? The need for someone to bring them the message of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and you're right about that. I believe, as we've talked about before, this is not a new thing. It's just the way that it morphs into something larger. I mean, you know, we see throughout all the empires that
yes.
have ruled the earth that the same thing has happened. You know, the Persians, the Medes, the Greeks, the Romans, you know, just keep going. And any other aside ones, you know, that's just a scant, you know, of great rulers and empires. But when the empire is responsible, then it becomes a, you know, for the people, then it becomes this, this unholy thing. This, you know, we will decide, then we will basically play God here. And we're not accepting God, and we're going to be your God.
Yes. Yes.
And so, yes, when Christians realize it is our God who is our existence, it would change the church world today if we would actually realize that. It breaks my heart to realize what we've become. And it's we. I'm included myself. You know, I've been just as guilty, but we have made something that is synthetic here in our not to say people who gather on Sundays aren't Christian, but we have made this synthetic otherness to accompany our Christianity.
Yeah, I agree, and that sullies the whole works. Now, for those of you who are listening to us, what we're not doing is just simply taking a wiffle ball bat to the business of the church, and you know, just giving everybody a good batting.
It is a wet noodle, though.
It is a wet noodle. Yeah. What we are doing, though, is we are trying to point to where the need is where the need is the greatest, where we have our, perhaps some instances, the rose-colored glasses on, take those off. We're in a battle, you know, or for those who are just simply turning a blind eye, stop doing that. There are real needs. The apathy just simply has to be named and dealt with. Okay, we have to point to it and say, look, that right there, that needs to be handled differently. And so this is where we are making an appeal to those who are the believers in Christ, covenanted to Jesus through his blood. You are his people if you have his spirit. And if you have his spirit, then that is a demonstration that you are. He does not give you the spirit so that you can just be gifted all over the place and enjoy giftedness. And that's, you know, just so that things will be nice. The reason why you have the Holy Spirit is precisely so that you can do things that you could not do, okay? So that you can be about the business of God. People who do not have the Holy Spirit, who are about the business of God, may be well-intended, but they're not actually doing the will of God. Now, I know somebody's going to correct me and say, but Pharaoh, I know. Pharaoh was not filled with the Holy Spirit. Pharaoh
was able to do. One of my points is that, you know, so Moses went to Pharaoh and said, you know, hey, God said, set my people free. Mm-hmm. And when he didn't, when he refused, then Moses would tell him, well, there's something coming that's going to make you unhappy. And I'm paraphrasing, of course.
Yes.
A plague would come, and Pharaoh would have some of his magicians, we'll name them magicians, but he would have some of his wise men, magicians, to recreate what appeared to be the same type of workings. But yet, they were very limited. God always showed them up, but they would say, well, here, we can do this.
Yeah.
And we see that all over today. Oh, well, here, the church says they do this. We can do this. Yet, you cannot... You cannot replace God nor the Spirit of God in his abilities. We are, you know, no matter what kind of smoke and mirrors you use, because it was very evident when every time Moses would go to him, well, that's, you know, his magic people would do something that would appear to be a miracle.
Yeah, I want to get obedience behind these workings. Because when Moses did it in such a way that it was obedience to God. And then could God use those magicians? Yes. The funny thing is that every time that the magicians applied themselves, they only made it worse.
Yes. Yeah.
You know? So, you can make fleas? We can make fleas too. Oh, wait a minute. That only makes it worse. You can make water into blood? We can make water into blood. Oh, now what are we going to drink? We just turned the water that we had into blood. Crumb.
Well, you look at today, though, you know, we read the Bible. Well, here is, and I'm going to use this as example. Here is the pattern for man and woman in procreation to populate the world. Oh, well, we can do that, too.
Right.
We can have our own marriage definition.
Sure.
Here in the 20th and 21st century. We can just redefine that all of a sudden after several thousand years, you know, of the same thing, and have no problem with it. But it does not work.
Right.
It's not going to work.
God can bring you joy. Oh, well, we can make you happy.
Yes. But happy comes and goes. It's very fleeting.
Right. And we wind up with these weird substitutes that are there. And I'm afraid that the church has been... lured into some of these substitutes. We've gotten to where, rather than actually applying the gift of the Spirit to the need of the world needs the church to be the church. You are famous for having said that in my hearing a few times.
I have a pamphlet of that.
There are people who I know who have quoted you on that. The world needs the church to be the church. And instead, the church has decided that it is a little bit better, and the gifted a little bit better. And so we've become enamored with the gift and forgotten about the giver's assignment.
And when I'm going on, and I'm not going to stop going on about it, but when I'm going on about the church, I mean the operation, the function that we're doing. I'm not beating up the people who are redeemed. No.
Yes, right.
Because I include myself in that mix. Mm-hmm. Yet we have to be aware of the Spirit of God and what He's doing through us. And therefore, you know, we're in this world. We may not be of it, but we're in it.
That's right.
And so we cannot come along, or we can't have a prophet come along in the 1800s to say, well, I'm going to make a new church. No, the church is the church. It's the Spirit-filled believers. There is no recreation. I'm not out to recreate any church.
Right.
The church has been created.
Mm-hmm.
It is the Spirit-filled believers. Now, you cannot recreate that. Because when you have to, well, I'm going to come up with a whole new system. Then you denigrate the sacrifice and the payment of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just that, I'm cutting to the chase here, but that's what happens. You alleviate the work of the cross, you denigrate all that, you do away with it, and you create your own system again.
Mm-hmm.
And it's flawed. So you have to keep recreating, and you have to keep rewriting your scriptures, and it never stops. No, we have scriptures. They're infallible. There is a church, and it's people that are filled by the Holy Spirit. They may not look like you. They may not participate in the same style that you do. Okay, Matt, you mentioned, I'm going to turn this over to you in just a second, but you mentioned the gift of singing. Well, singing has become worship, and worship has become, we have a 17 minutes set aside in our corporation service for the act of worship.
Yeah.
And it's going to be singing is what we're going to do.
Right.
And then we're going to stop that after 17 minutes.
Right.
And we're going to go into another portion of our corporate meeting.
Yes. And of course, before we launch off into that, the last verse needs to be repeated about 6 times, slower each time, until the last verse, your eyes are rolling back and you start to drool.
Until our psycho being has been drawn in.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
Okay, you poked the fire enough. You know, it's the same. They teach, and I know this firsthand, in seminaries, they teach guys to preach. Now, here's how you do it. You address the front part of the mind, and then you go to the side part of the mind and the back part of the mind, and you learn how to speak. You learn how to present a speech. You learn how to present a biblical speech. That's exactly what you're doing. Biblical speech making.
Yeah. So there are things that are, I think, definitely wrong, and I think all of these things come in, you know, the horse that they're riding is, you know, good intention. You know what, I know the phrase about good intentions leading to, I know, that's not what I'm saying. I think these people are well-intended. I think that, you know, hey, here's how to do this and to do it well and to bring people in and all these things. We just need to, this is the call from me now today, this is the call from me. What we need to do is we need to back up, regroup, take the assessment of, not the spiritual gifts inventory assessment, take inventory, yes indeed, and, you know, realize where are the foundations, and then actually build on those foundations. We have delighted ourselves in doing things that are not actually accomplishing anything, not actually practical. It's reduced to Christian entertainment. And we are convinced, this is another one of those smoke and mirrors things, this is a distraction that has been put in place. We are convinced, apparently, if you watch what it is that the church is doing, we are convinced that what people need most is Christian entertainment. That is to say that they need entertainment that is suitable for the Christian appetite.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
What was the name of the prophet Isaiah's horse?
I don't know.
Is me. He was always saying, woe is me.
That is Christian entertainment right there.
But that's what I am saying. Woe is me. I use this very light, and a guy told me that a long time ago, and it's stuck in my head for years now.
That's so funny.
But Isaiah, when he looked around at the condition of God's people, woe is me.
Yeah.
When God talked to him, woe is me. And there is, I come from a rural farm horse culture, and all this. You understand what, pull the reins back, stop this thing, and they're going to redo something,
Right, right.
But woe is not, in the WHOA, but woe, WOE in our English pronunciation,
yes.
Which sounds pretty close to the same.
Yeah.
Woe is a threatening what am I trying to say here? It's very concerning type of presentation. Woe is me. Good, there's something coming.
Yes,
it's detrimental almost.
It can be translated alas.
Yes, yes. But and even behold at times, there's a shock factor there.
Yeah, I've gone to Isaiah, and what he's saying, the word woe, what it means is, let me draw attention to this thing that is not right. That's what it is. It's a let me draw attention to this thing right here that
exactly.
is not right.
Yes,
and he is Isaiah, and whether you got Jesus too, Matthew chapter 23, for instance, woe Pharisees, so forth.
Then you launch into Revelation, and
the
final woes are very extensive and very exact and very tribulating, let's say.
Yeah.
It's because it's the Great Tribulation. I mean, these are very impactful. Whoa, you have the angel flying over saying, whoa, 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 three times, which just means for emphasis.
Yeah.
Whoa,
yeah.
whoa, it's coming.
There are very few things that are named three times. You have holy, holy, holy is named three times. Whoa is named three times. 666 is named three times. And 777 is named three times. Are you familiar with anything else that is named three times? It's therefore an extraordinary measure of emphasis. And so, woe, again.
It's not just numerology, as some would say, but it is for emphasis.
Emphasis, yeah. They didn't have the type writers that we have today with the bold print and exclamation points and things like that. So it was, you say it three times, and it's the same thing as underlining it and bold print. Okay, all of that to say, we are given the privilege of speaking truth to you out there who are listening. And I think that we're in a position where we are trying to say, we are pointing to something, we are drawing attention to something, we are saying, pay attention to this, please, because the next level to the word woe is no longer the interjection woe, but rather the actual noun woe. A woe is something that is terrible and horrible and cataclysmic. You get the warning shot first when somebody declares woe. Okay, but then after that comes these terrible, horrible, no good, very bad things that are the woes. Okay? Church, the world needs you to be the church. Don't worry about what your spiritual gift is. Go be the body of Christ in the world.
And exactly that. Be the body of Christ. Don't be First Baptist Church podunked.
Please.
Who whatever only.
Yeah.
Realize that the name on your sign is really insignificant as far as I'm concerned.
They will know that we are followers of Jesus when we have love for one another. So when First Baptist of Podunk gets together with the Second Baptist of Podunk, or they get together with the the Lutheran Church, for Pete's sake.
Exactly.
And people who are following Jesus and don't have a denomination, okay?
Yes.
You know, when people just simply are lovers of Jesus and thereby, through the Spirit, are lovers of one another and are at work trying to do the business that, you know, God so loved the world that he gave the church is the next iteration.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so being about that. Now, there are, I'm afraid, a lot of people who are just really interested in getting out of Dodge. And I don't think that that's the answer. Yes, we may need to back up, regroup, take the assessment, but that is so that we can go back in on the advance.
Well, and there is no plan B.
That's right.
There is no plan. There is no alternative. There is no retreat.
Right. Right.
We don't have that option as Christians. And yes, we do need to go forward. And, you know, I'll use from Isaiah. He's in chapter 40. He's presenting, you know, what is the prophecy of John the Baptist.
Mm-hmm.
Yet he's saying, make straightway the paths for the Lord to these people who are not yet exiled, yet they are in captivity, so to speak. They've been taken over.
Yeah.
They've been overcome.
Yeah,
but
right.
He's trying to tell them the next thing coming is exhalation. You're going to be taken out. They don't really understand that.
Yeah.
And he's preaching, you know, this woe to them. And we see the actualization of the prophecy of that coming out, John the Baptist. There's one coming who will baptize you with the Holy... I baptize you with water, but there's one coming who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire.
Yes, yes.
And I've even heard that broken down more, that the fire may be even considered as a judgment there, and I see where they're coming from, you know.
Yeah, John makes it actually in like Matthew chapter 3, for instance, where he says, you know, the tree, the axe is at the root,
yes,
and the chaff is there, and it's going to be burnt up. And you can see that he's applying that to the Jewish people themselves, and he is saying the Messiah is coming, make straight the way, because those of you who are not following after the Messiah are going to wind up getting chopped down and thrown into the fire. And that prophecy was actually really
plan
well
unfolds,
done.
Well, here is the Messiah.
Yeah, that's right.
The coming one. I've been analyzing this just because of my own hobby horses. In Acts, which I'm going to come backwards, but Acts chapter 2, whenever the Spirit falls, and they say, how do we be saved? And I wrote a tract about this. You can get the tract. I think it's on the Well Placed Faith Facebook somewhere. It's on gospelvehicle.net. You can download the tract now. But it explains this. But Peter preaches a sermon that pricks him to the heart.
Yep.
And the Spirit is pricking him to the heart because the Spirit's flowing through Peter. Peter was not a great preacher.
Right.
The Spirit moved upon him.
What the world needed at that point in time was to get called short.
Yes. And so they said, how do we become saved? How do we be saved? Tell us, brothers. And Peter said, repent. They'd heard the message from John, repent. Repent. Make straightway the paths of your heart.
Yeah.
Repent and believe in the name, be baptized. It said, believe in the repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
If you look at it, and I've been going over this in the Greek and stuff as well. And if you start breaking that down, and even use your English Bible in the commas, how we use English literature. So you can use the commas, you can pull things out, repent. And if you pull out that middle section, it says, and you'll be filled with the Spirit. Be baptized in the name and the authority of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And then following that, and I know word order, but you can attest to this yourself, Matt, when you're looking at this, word order in the Greek means a lot, but it's not the same as our word order.
Oh, that's absolutely right.
But it's be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. is very specific. Jesus Christ, because we've talked about this, there was more than one Jesus.
Yeah, that's right, too.
Name of Jesus.
Yeah.
But be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, Jesus the Messiah,
mm-hmm.
the one who came and died for the remission of your sins. It's an into, if you read that, it's really an into the remission of your sins,
yes.
into the healing.
Yes.
So you can't As one, the little word there is ice.
Ice, yeah.
Ice, yeah. Some would say.
Some would say ice. I would say ice.
A great old professor, Dr. Jim Anderson, said there's a little problem of ice. Some people slip on the ice there.
Yeah.
You can't go through the door of knowing Jesus Christ without the Spirit drawing you. Mm-hmm. So you cannot receive the gift of the Holy Spirit without realizing that you need Jesus.
Yeah.
You cannot be in remission of your sin until the Holy Spirit is coming to you, until you've asked Jesus to come into your heart.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let me now say, there's been a temptation to draw back and to hunker down. Draw back, hunker down. And I'm afraid that that's not the way forward. The way forward is going to be on the advance. We're going to have to get a little bit aggressive, okay? And I'm now speaking again to the church.
Yes.
We are going to have to get a little bit aggressive. Please do note that we can take a play straight out of the world's playbook. And by the way, they borrowed it from us first. That there is no need to wait for something to be acceptable. There is no need to wait for something to be legal in that sense. You know, there are people who, if they want something to happen, they'll just do it. Isn't that amazing? If they want something to happen, why, they'll just do it. If we, the church, will take it upon ourselves to do the good, and not wait for it to be socially acceptable, it's not going to be. Not wait for it to be, legitimate in terms of, you know, legalities. Let's not worry about whether that's the case. I'm not advising people go and find a law and break it. That's not what I'm saying. But I am saying that there are an awful lot of things that have come about because the people didn't care whether it was legal or not. An example would be, if it is illegal to pray somewhere, then pray. That would be the way that I would say address that. Don't worry about trying to get the law on your side. Just pray, okay? So you know, there's that. We are caught up in an Exodus movement. But please understand that the Exodus movement was not only a calling out, it was a calling in too at the same time. There is a calling out of, yes, you watch the Exodus. By the way, the Passover and the Exodus, they're going to be commemorated in the not-too-distant future on the calendar. And we have our paschal lamb who has been sacrificed. And because of that, we, the church, the people of Christ, the followers, are called out of the world. That doesn't mean that you're going away. What it means is that you are going to be distinct and different. Okay? Now, in the New Testament era, in the modern times, God may, in fact, be calling you geographically out of some place, you know, as an individual call to you. But to the church, this is the way that the Exodus now works. The Exodus is that you are being called out of the world system, this secularum. You are being called into the kingdom of God, where you are a representative of God, where you are an ambassador for God. And after this exodus, that is to say that you may be standing in the midst of and in the company of people who are of the world, but you are distinct. You are different because you are in the covenant, because you are one ready to die to yourself, because you are one who is filled with the Holy Spirit, because you are one who is... has the wisdom that is given to you through the Spirit, the ambitions that the Spirit has given, the love that the Spirit has given. So you are a distinct person. You are different. Not because you smell nice, not because you are self-actualizing in a very Abraham Maslow kind of a way with the church's stamp of approval on it or something, but because you are the representative of Jesus Christ. And having been called out, you are also being called into. So Jesus, in his authority as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, has said that you actually, in your nomadic sojourning kind of a way, you are called into the world. You're supposed to go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost part of the world. You're supposed to go to the nations. In case you didn't know, you're in a nation. You're in one, okay? You've been, it's very obvious where it is that you're supposed to serve because this is where you're finding yourself. And so, put your paddle in the water and start paddling. You know, that's kind of the call that's being given to you. And again, you have the gift of the Spirit. If you are a believer, you have. Let me put this confidence into you. You have the gift of the Spirit, not a gifting that is particular to you, that it accords with some kind of an inventory. Don't concern yourself with that spiritual gift inventory. Concern yourself with the true worship of God, not just singing a pretty song about Him, not just being somehow delighted in your emotions with Him, having a peculiar kind of a fondness about who God is, but rather put your life in the expression of obedience. That's worship. That's worship. Give Him yourself and be ready to tell yourself and your agendas no for the sake of telling Him and His agendas yes. And be brave. Be bold. Be courageous. Go up against the forces. Go up against the strongholds. Go up against, because we are claiming this world for our King. The kingdom of God is to be at hand. We are going around with our little flag, plunging it in the ground and saying, I claim this territory for Jesus and His kingdom. And we are doing that geographically. It becomes almost accidental because what we're looking for is human beings. And through human beings who are the spearhead of the new creation of God, you know, behold, all things have become new when you are filled with the Holy Spirit. Begin in the human beings, and from there it'll grow out into the world. Okay? It'll grow out, and we will see that. But it all comes down to, please don't be concerned with but that doesn't match up with what my spiritual gift is. Your spiritual gift is that you have the gift of the Spirit. Be the body of Christ where you are. Do what only the body of Christ can do, and that is represent Him. Give the verbal proclamation of His salvation and then of the gospel, that He is the King, that He is the Lord, that forgiveness comes through Him, that this world doesn't have to be this way.
Matt is very clearly addressing the Christian, the believer, the church today. But I also want to address the unbeliever. If you're out here today and you're looking, you know, you need something to complete your life. There's something missing. There's, you know, this, you feel this, you're tugging at your heartstring, so to speak. You feel this need for something, then I'm going to tell you, I'm going to give you the opportunity to receive Jesus. Receive the Lord Jesus Christ, the work that He did on the cross. Receive the Holy Spirit. You just ask Jesus, come redeem me. Come save me. You know, however you want to describe your condition, Lord, here I am, help me.
Yeah, yeah.
Come into my life. You know, fix this thing. Fix this problem, which is me.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, do this. And one of the wisest things, I was thinking about this earlier in the week, one of the wisest things I'd heard, and you know, you say, well, you guys are on the radio, and we thank God for this opportunity, this platform, this pulpit that has been given to us. It's such a blessing. But I heard a guy, I was at a little event, and it wasn't necessarily, I think it may have been a Christian singing or something, but I was standing there with another guy, and he was a very evangelistic fellow, and his name actually means the gift of God. But, you know, that's not why his folks named him that, I don't think, because, you know. Anyway, being discreet about who he is, he was talking to a person, he said, the outcome is you receive Jesus, and if you receive Jesus, if you're a Christian, start your own Bible study.
Yes!
You can do this the same day. You know, you don't have to wait. And I know what he means, and you may laugh and say, well, you know, I don't know anything about the Bible. You receive the Spirit, and he will begin teaching you.
Yeah, yeah.
And you teach as he allows. You, teach what you know. Teach the next person. Hey, I received Jesus and he's changed my life today.
Yes, yes.
If that's where you have to start, start there.
Yeah, I would in fact advise just what you're saying. Do not wait. Please do not buy into the fallacy that you have to have a seminary education. Please do not buy into it's malarkey. It's malarkey is what it is. And that's a theological term that can be applied to this. The perspicuity of the scripture. Okay, big, fat, hairy, stinking deal. What's that word mean? It means that Scripture is clear. If you have the Holy Spirit and you read the Scripture, then you are equipped with what it takes to understand the Scripture. Okay? You call out to Jesus. Ask the Lord to be your Lord over your heart, over your life, to come in and indwell you, to forgive you. You know, we're not asking you to make some big elaborate prayer that's a big litany of these regimented sort of statements. Just simply call out to Jesus in your desperation. He knows, and he will intercede for you. When you do, in fact, receive the Holy Spirit, having cried out, having called out to him, having called on his name in desperation, he will hear the prayer, he will answer the prayer, you will be rescued, you will receive the Holy Spirit. When that happens, go forth. The woman at the well, I have a friend who has, he tells me these things pretty commonly. The woman at the well from Book of John chapter 4, she did not stick around and wait for biblical knowledge. She didn't stick around and wait for a seminary education. She found out Jesus was the Christ, and she went and told people. The demoniac who has the demons cast out of him, He's appreciative to Jesus for having rescued him. Jesus tells him, go to the Decapolis, and he goes and he bears witness to the Decapolis with what he does know. Don't teach what you don't know. Teach what you do know. If that amounts to, all I know is that I was in a desperate spot, and I called out to the Lord, and he rescued my soul.
And when you're proclaiming these things, it's not up to you and your ability.
That's right.
Back to the beginning of the show, it's not up to your ability. It's not up to your what you take in on this spiritual gift assessment. You may find yourself in this place that there's just no human way possible, and there is no human way possible of saving anybody.
That's right. That's right.
Else the work of Christ, again, would be negated.
Right.
So we need what Jesus Christ done. We need the Holy Spirit to empower us to do this.
Right.
We need this. You need the Spirit in your life.
The one thing that I'm looking for, the one thing that I believe is needed for the whole thing to work, is that there is a need for you to supply the yes, Lord. You submit, you surrender, you put him first, you surrender to his will, you supply the yes, Lord. Gideon, how are you going to do that? I don't know, but I'm going to. I'm willing. You know, God has made it apparent that this is what I'm supposed to do, so I'm willing. Here I go. And God came through. Right? I mean, that's just one example. You go to the book of Hebrews chapter 11, the various people who just simply by faith did all kinds of things. It wasn't because of their ability. It was because they believed the Lord. They said, yes, Lord, and God came through. He's the God who comes through.
It was obedience, and you know, Gideon is the prime example, but because he had no, he was not a military leader, he was not a leader of any sorts, he's just a humble farmer.
Had the puniest little military.
Yes, and God dwindled, at first there were 30,000 people that came, and God dwindled it down to 300 to fight this army of multiple thousands. Again, no humanly way possible. You cannot save yourself. You can't do enough good works.
That's right.
You can't. You can't go back and fix enough things. You know, there is no retribution that you can do on your own. Christ did it for you. Receive that today. Receive the payment that Jesus Christ has already paid once and for all. He doesn't have to do it again. He's already did it, and He will fill you with His Spirit. And there is no, then you are a member of the church.
Right.
Once you have received Jesus, and that will actualize in your life, then you will be equipped and continue to be equipped for what God is calling you to do.
Call out for strength of the Holy Spirit to declare Jesus as Lord. Be bold. Be strong. Do not count on yourself. Allow for the Lord to be the Lord. This, my friends, this is well. Oh, go right ahead, please.
Well, I want you to know that we're going to have, coming next month in March, there's going to be some more of this kind of broadcasting coming. I'm going to keep you updated. I'll let you know about that, but we're going to be giving you more of this kind of stuff. God bless you all, and well-placed faith. Crucified.